بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, our deen of Islam is based on a promise. It is based on an ahad. And that ahad is that we will worship no one other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And that we will not seek help from anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And that we will follow nobody except Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. This is the meaning of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. When you say, I bear witness that that only Allah is worthy of worship, what does it mean? You are not stating an academic fact. You are not saying that I bear witness that the shade is only under the tree. No. You are not saying the shade is only under the tree and you are standing in the sun. No. You are sitting in the shade. So when you are saying I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah, La ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, then what are you saying? You are saying I worship Allah. And I do not worship anyone other than Allah. And this is my pact. This is my pact. This is my ahad. This is my deal. This is my covenant. This is my promise. This is my agreement with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I will worship only Him and nobody else. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who does this, Allah's pact with him is that He will give him Jannah. Now worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means to worship Allah, meaning as in salah and so on. It means to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only, because obedience is worship. It means to seek help only from Allah, because dua is worship. All of these are included in the worship. Worship is not only some worship related rituals that we come and do in the masjid and after that my life is my own to lead. No, it is not. This is, it's a package deal. It means, that is the reason why the Quraysh of Makkah fought Rasulullah so much, because they understood the meaning of worship. They understood the meaning of La ilaha illallah. They knew that once we accept this, then our whole life has to change. So they fought. And that is also why when they became Muslim, they became such strong Muslims, alhamdulillah, because they knew that there is no, we are not doing this halfway. There is no compromise formula. We are not sort of one leg here in this boat and the other leg in the other boat. No. Similarly, when we say Muhammad or Rasulullah, it is a pact, it's an agreement, it's a covenant to say that I will follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam only, and I will not follow anyone in opposition to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So wherever there is a teaching of Rasulullah, if it is opposed by something else, then I will not follow the something. I don't care who that is. I do not care who that something comes from. I will not follow that. I will follow what Rasulullah taught me. If there is a neutral matter which is not against the Sunnah, no problem, alhamdulillah. The reason I'm saying this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also told us, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu awfu bil uqud. Allah said, oh, you who believe, be true to your promises. Be true to your covenants. In Islam, it is the man's word. And when you say man, it's not a gender statement. It means individual. It's the man or the woman's word which has honor. In Surah Al-Baqarah, towards the end, there is the ayat which tells us to write down agreements. People sometimes, they mistake this to imagine that only if the agreement is written down, then it's an agreement. That is not so. The writing down is for record. Today I have an agreement with Zafar bhai. And tomorrow I am also gone, he's also gone. My heirs and his heirs, they want to say, well, you know, what did our fathers, what did they decide? We don't know, because there was nothing written. So to avoid that kind of a situation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, write it down, have two witnesses. If there are no witnesses, then Allah is the witness. But write it down. This is a matter of record. It does not mean that if I have given my word to Babbi for something and then he comes to collect it, I say, we didn't write it down, no? Where is the question? You gave your word. You said you will do this. Right or no right is not the issue. The reason I am saying this is today, this is a very big problem. This is a Muslims today, we have lost our honor because our word means nothing. We say anything to anybody. This morning today, somebody sent me a question to say that I have enrolled in some institute from which I got study material. And they have said, as part of their copyright agreement, they have said, please don't share this with anybody because it takes a lot of time and trouble and expense to create this. Whoever wants to learn can also enroll. So this person said, I enrolled, I got all the material, then I go to a library and there are a whole lot of people there who cannot afford this material. So I share it with them. So did I do right or wrong? So I said, this is like, for example, I go to buy a car, right? So I am buying this car. Then I bring another 10 people to this car dealer and I say, all right, please give them all cars. Until this point, it's fine. So they all take the car, they drive away. Now I'm also going away. The man says, what about the other 10 cars? He said, no, that you pay. They are poor people, they cannot afford the car. Does it make sense? You want to do them a favor, you buy the car. You buy 10 cars and give them, no problem. So I told this chap, I said, what you should do is, if you are so kind-hearted and whatnot, you want to help those people, then you enroll those people, you pay their fees, let them get the course material. No problem with that. But how do you take somebody else's property and give it away free and think you are doing charity? You are not doing charity, you are doing theft. This is theft. Your hand will be cut if you are in a Muslim society. And if you are not in a Muslim society, then on the day of judgment, you will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you will be punished. Because you stole from that man. You are stealing their intellectual property. How is it different? Intellectual property is not only as valuable, it is actually even more valuable than physical property. So how can I just steal it? How can I just take it? Now, he's a photographer. Sometimes he sends me his photographs because I love seeing good photographs. Supposing I take his photograph, then I am now selling this photograph to somebody else. I am giving it away, I am doing... Is it correct? He has taken time, trouble, what not to take the photograph. He's sharing it with me for my pleasure. I can see it, alhamdulillah, no problem. I can even show it to a couple of other people. But if I take this photograph and I spread it all over the world and I am selling it and I am doing things with it, this is theft. Then I am stealing from him. The reason I am saying this is that this is the issue with Muslims. Very, very sad. The other issue is, which is also issue of trust and issue of covenants. Somebody tells you something in confidence, right? That for some of us is like Akashvani. You want something to be known by the whole world, just tell it to one person. That's enough. You don't have to take the trouble to, put it in the newspapers or go and give a press release. Just tell it to the one person, it's like a press release. The whole town will come to know about that. And then the way they do that, he says, I'm going to tell you something in confidence. He goes to somebody else. I'm telling you this confidence. I'm not trying to do ghibat. This is not ghibat. I'm just telling you in confidence. Then he will tell. Just because you preamble this thing by saying, I'm not doing ghibat and I'm telling you in confidence, and then you are breaking that confidence of somebody else. What kind of thing is this? If someone tells you something in confidence, that must go in your khabar with you. There's no question of sharing that with anybody else, no matter who the other person is. The only exception I will make is if somebody is telling you that I want to commit suicide, then maybe you should tell somebody and say, look, try to stop this man. If there is some danger to someone's life, then I can say, all right, it's, inshallah, okay to break that confidence and so that some help can be given and so on, the person can be saved. But other than somebody's life being threatened, how do you share information? How do you tell people, this or that, when you have no right to do that? The reason I'm saying that is because this is we have a religion which is based on a promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have promised to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then what do? Every form of disobedience in the name of tradition, then we invent new ones. So what happened to the promise to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Adi ibn Hatim, the son of Hatim al-Tai from the tribe of Tai, came to Prophet sallam, and he had a cross on a chain around his neck because he was a Christian. He came to meet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Medina. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam recited the ayat where Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala said that these people, meaning the Christians, have taken their monks and priests as their gods. So Adi bin Hatim said, Ya Rasulullah, we do not worship our monks and priests. So Allah is saying here, they have taken them as their gods. Min dunillah, instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Adi bin Hatim said, Ya Rasulullah, we do not worship our monks and gods, monks and priests. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, is it not true that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permitted something, but your priests have prohibited that? And you follow what the priests have told you. Is it not true? They said, yes. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, is it not true that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited something, but your priests have told you it is okay, so you do it? Is that not true? He said, yes. He said, this is worship. This is worship. In Christianity, in Judaism and Christianity, pork is haram. In the Bible, not in one place, there are many places it is written in the Bible. The Jews follow it, the Jews don't eat pork, but the Christians eat pork. Because the priests have said it's okay. How can you eat pork? Ask any Christian, did Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, did he eat pork? No. Then how do you eat pork? Did Maryam alayhi salam, they worship Isa alayhi salam, Maryam alayhi salam. First of all, that itself is wrong. Did Isa alayhi salam say, worship me? But your priest made the Trinity. So now you have a Trinity. The reason I'm saying here is because to obey anybody, whether it is an individual, whether it is a tradition, whether it's a custom, to obey that in opposition to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed is to worship that thing instead of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To obey our nafs instead of obeying what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to do is the worship of our nafs instead of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this. Specifically, Allah mentioned this in Surah Al-Furqan and in other places, where Allah said that, have you not seen them? أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ بَكِيلًا. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said very clearly, have you not seen those who have taken their nafs, their hawa, their desires as their gods? And have you not seen them worshipping their desires instead of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from interceding for such people. He said, will you make dua for these people? Will you intercede for these people? Meaning what? Meaning don't intercede. So when we have given a covenant, when we have given a promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to obey Him, to worship Him, I remind myself anew, obedience is worship. Seeking help is worship. We have made a promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we will not do this with anyone other than Him Jalla Jalaluhu. And the reward of this promise is, inshallah al-musta'an, forgiveness and Jannah. Like any covenant, there are two parts to it. You keep your end of it and Allah will keep His end of it. Allah does not break His promise. But if we break our side of the promise, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not bound by that promise either. That is the actual price of doing what we are doing. What we are doing, the price is not in rupees and cents and dollars. The price is in Jannah or no Jannah. This is what we have to understand, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us understand and to follow it. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعليه وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين.